From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
This week on the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition.
California has been a leader among states in implementing the Affordable Care Act and establishing its health benefit exchange, Covered California. As a result, enrollment in private insurance plans through Covered California increased by over 1.2 million people, exceeding its first-year goal. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, this could have a profound effect in reducing the number of uninsured by more than 40% in places like the San Joaquin Valley, where there are high numbers of the uninsured. But does having health insurance guarantee better health outcomes? And what implications will the Affordable Care Act have on the upcoming elections? We'll ask David Panish, Director of External Affairs with Covered California, and Dan Weintraub with the California Health Network and editor of the California Health Report.
We'll also hear from former State Assemblymember Sarah Reyes, now with the California Endowment, and Bill McEwen, editorial page editor of the Fresno Bee.
The Affordable Care Act. What is the medical and political prognosis?
Additional funding for the Maddie Report made possible by a grant from Paramount Agricultural Companies. Growing healthy food for you and your family.
From the California Channel at the State Capitol, Valley PBS and the Maddie Institute. It's the Maddie Report with Executive Director of the Maddie Institute, Mark Kepler.
We're coming to you from the State Capitol in Sacramento, and the issue is the Affordable Care Act and how it's faring in California. California was projected to enroll 580,000 new people in its new health care exchange, Covered California. Did it meet its target? Our guest is David Panish, the Director of External Affairs with Covered California. Welcome back to the Maddie Report, David.
Thank you very much.
So what are the numbers? Did you hit your targets?
We blew the socks off of any of our expectations. We had projected to get about 600,000 by the end of our first open enrollment period, which ended at the end of March, and the numbers that came in were incredible. Over 1.2 million people enrolled in a Covered California plan, and far more than we had expected. And of that, 85%. We're in an income range where they're able to take advantage of federal help to make their premiums even more affordable. And that's not even accounting the 1.9 million on top of that, that enroll in Medi-Cal plans.
And those are folks that are poor still, and they're getting covered, their insurance is being covered.
If their income is even lower than for Covered California, they're eligible for Medi-Cal for free health care.
Okay. We talk about the total numbers that signed up, and then those are impressive numbers. But really, the bigger issue is who signed up, in particular, the young invincibles, they call them, those people that are young or healthy, because you need those to balance out those people that are older and sick. So did you hit your targets with the young invincibles?
We did really well with I hate to call them young invincibles, because if you ask them, do you want health care, they always say yes. The reality is that young people between the ages of 18 and 34 value health care just like the rest of us. But the issue is affordability. So when you look at our numbers, we were able to enroll about 28% of total enrollment by the end of March, which is pretty good. And I have to say that it's not just the 18 to 34-year-olds. It's healthcare is something that affects a whole family. And I can't tell you how many times it was either the mom or the grandmother that said, I want my young invincible covered. And they were our best sales force in reaching those folks.
I'm guessing a lot of those younger people came in on that new section that allows parents to keep them under their plan for up to 20 until they're 26.
Well, if they're under 26, they can stay on their parents' plan, but they don't have to. And in many cases, they may be on their own. They may be in their own tax household. They're independent, and so they can, if they were previously uninsured, this was a great option for them.
Okay. What about the issue with Latinos? I know there was a big push to get more of them signed up. How successful was Covered California in signing up Latinos?
We made huge progress in March. In fact, there was a tremendous surge. 36% of our enrollment was Latino. But it's important to note how challenging it is to enroll people who haven't been insured, and this is a new program that's starting up. In many ways, for people who have low incomes, who haven't had insurance before, it's like trying to buy a new car. And, they have a lot of questions. This is not a you know, a one touch and you're done, you know, sign up for some free coverage. This is something that's important to people, and they want to weigh the choices. It's not free, and so they're very careful about how they want to spend their money.
I had read that your target was 265,000 people, and you ended up by the end of March having 252,000, so very close to your target for Latinos. Another group that seems to be a bit underrepresented are African Americans. How'd your numbers trend with African Americans?
Very well. We actually hit the projected number of about 25,000 during this open enrollment period. But still, there's a lot of work to be done. There are a lot of people that did not take advantage of health care coverage for this go-around. Open enrollment will begin again in the fall. And if there are changes, life circumstances that come up, if someone loses their job, if they get married, if they're moving, they can still take advantage of Covered California options, and they can enroll through our plans. And if they're eligible for Medi-Cal, they can come in at any time.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the Medi-Cal program. What impact will the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, have on the Medi-Cal program generally, and what about the state fund in particular, general fund?
Well, it's important to remember that 100% of the cost of care for the new categories of Medi-Cal, the new eligible categories, 100% of that is being paid for by the federal government.
And that is going to reduce over time to just 90%, correct?
To just 90%. Right. But that's still a major infusion of federal funds coming into the state, paying for some important services. And in California, we don't just let sick people lie on the street if they're injured, if they have a problem. So someone's picking up the tab now. And this is
a lot of it's charity care, I would assume.
Some of it's charity care. Some of that cost gets shifted off to other people who have coverage. You know, somebody's picking up the tab. This is a much more effective way, I would argue, to pay for it.
We're talking with David Panish from Covered California, the California Healthcare Exchange that was set up under the Affordable Care Act. So, David, why do you think, with all the resources at the disposal of the federal government, they didn't do, frankly, half the job that Covered California did? Why did you guys do so much better than the federal exchange?
Well, one of the things that we had that they didn't have was the benefit of the tremendous bipartisan political support and a history of support for healthcare in California that was really noteworthy. The legislation that created the California Health Benefit Exchange, now called California, was signed into law by Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. and a Democratic legislature. We were the first state, following the passage of the Affordable Care Act, to enact our own exchange. And one of the things that people wanted was something that was homegrown, so that we could it would be more accountable, more agile, and we had more time. We were working on this from day one. We had more time than the federal exchange. And we think that that was one of the things that contributed to our success.
Yeah, so you got in front of the curve, and that was allowed you to get more enrollees than the federal government. Though the federal government recently, there are a lot of people came in at the end of the enrollment period.
You know, anytime you're starting a new program of this size and complexity, you're going to have some bumps along the road, some glitches, you know, new computer systems. I don't know of any program that could launch without those kinds of problems. So, and we certainly had our share. But the longer that we, the more experience we have, the more time we have from the point of launch to work through the bugs, the better and more helpful the website is, and that's been our experience.
You know, there's been a number of people that have been upset about the fact that, you know, President Obama promised that if you had your health insurance, you could keep it, and that really wasn't true. Some folks couldn't keep their health insurance plans. Why was that? Why were some people told that they could no longer have their health insurance plans?
One of the things that's happening is that there's a transition into this new world. Prior to January 2014, if you had a pre-existing condition, your health insurance company could do medical underwriting. They'd give you a medical test. And if you had a pre-existing condition, had some issues, someone my age would certainly have a number of them, it would be easy for them to deny you coverage. The plans, in many cases, that were offered were all over the map in terms of what was being offered. And it was difficult for a consumer to compare on an apples-to-apples basis. There was always something in there that you might not have expected. So the Affordable Care Act came along and said, okay, all of that is something of the past. Now, if you have a pre-existing condition, an insurance company can't deny you. The rules of the game changed. There are essential health benefits that are standard amongst all of the plans that are being offered now in the individual and small group market.
So to be clear, the reason why some of these plans were, people were told they couldn't sign up for these plans anymore is because they didn't meet these 10 essential benefits, like covering pre-existing conditions. They were buying a plan that excluded people with pre-existing conditions, and so therefore the premium was lower. And so the premium, I guess, is going to go higher when you do include people with pre-existing conditions.
But yeah, that's absolutely right. And for some people, if you had your plan prior to the passage of the Affordable Care Act, in March 2010, there was no change. You were all grandfathered it in. Okay. For people who bought their plans after that, this transition is something that was happening.
You know, I think it was PPIC that said that there is increased competition now in the California health insurance market, where you're seeing more companies with a greater than 5% share of the health insurance market, and the largest company, Kaiser, actually reducing their market share. So you're seeing more competition. So is that a good thing in terms of maybe lowering costs or lowering the rate of increase of healthcare costs?
Absolutely. Competition is always a good thing. And the fact is that the marketplace is getting bigger as more people are able to enroll, and as the rules of the game have changed. So the individual market of the past was so dysfunctional that it was I don't know how long it would have been sustainable in that old world. So now we're on a much healthier footing.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, what do you think can be done to either improve the law or improve the job that Covered California is doing?
Well, as we have completed this first round, we still have an awful lot to do. There are kind of three areas that we think about as being the central focus for us. First is we have to have affordable, quality health plans. And so as we have consumers who've now purchased our plans, we're doing everything we can to make sure that they're getting quality care. All of our plans are regulated by either the Department of Insurance or the Department of Managed Healthcare. They have to meet commercial plan standards. And we want to make sure that people are getting good quality care and it's affordable for them and it stays affordable. Second thing is, you know, we still have a lot of people who have not yet purchased coverage who are uninsured, and we still have an outreach and education job to do. And when open enrollment begins next fall, we're going to be back out there. And for people who have life changes, we want them to enroll in either a Covered California plan or a Medi-Cal if they're eligible for that. And finally, smooth enrollment. We want our website to be even better. There's still a lot of improvements that can be smoother.
Anybody who's got a website knows there's always room for improvement. Well, I want to thank David Panish with Covered California for joining us. Our next guest is Dan Weintraub, a veteran political reporter and columnist and public policy expert with the California Health Network and editor of the California Health Report. Welcome back to the Manny Report.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dan, Republicans and critics of the ACA have stated that there's going to be a net reduction in coverage as a result of the Affordable Care Act, with employers dropping folks, the health insurance for their employees, individuals dropping because the premiums are going up. What are the real numbers?
Nationally, it's too soon to tell, but I think it's pretty clear in California that that's not the case. There's definitely a net increase in coverage. Looks like we have about 3 million more Californians with coverage today than before the ACA. That includes over a million with private coverage through Covered California, and around 2 million people in the expanded Medi-Cal program for the poor.
Are there any numbers on how many people have lost their insurance with employers?
Well, not necessarily with employers, but there's been a number of about 900,000 or a million people who had coverage, mostly through individual plans, that was deemed to be ineligible or insufficient under the new Obamacare regulations. But what we don't know is how many of those people simply transitioned to new plans with their current carrier, which many of them had the option. So somewhere between 0 and 900,000 people may have lost private coverage. But as of now, we don't know exactly what that number is. But whatever it is, it's clearly dwarfed by the number who gained coverage under this plan.
Okay, so there'll be some people out there that are going to be complaining about the increased premiums, and they have to buy things they didn't want to buy, because under Obamacare, the ACA, they said you have to have these 10 basic things in every plan.
Right.
But overall, there's been a net increase.
Definitely.
Okay, so make sure I understood that. All right, so we have more people covered by health insurance. Is that going to reduce health care costs? I think a lot of people are wondering that.
Probably not. Certainly overall, it's going to increase costs, because there's so many more people getting coverage and using that coverage that's going to increase costs. It remains to be seen whether on a per capita basis costs go down as people, you know, get more preventive care and stay healthier. But I think in the short term, it's definitely going to be a cost increase on both scores, because we're really just expanding the status quo.
That's certainly understandable. A lot of people with pre-existing conditions who are now covered are now going to have insurance and be able to get medical coverage. But what about, you always hear about emergency rooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's such an expensive way to deal with health issues. Should there be, or will there be, fewer of those?
That was what a lot of people thought. But interestingly, one of the early studies that's been done on expansion of care, at least for the poor, was that when they got insurance, they actually used the emergency room more. Because if you think about it, everyone knows emergency rooms are expensive. And if you don't have insurance, even if you get sick, you're going to be reluctant to go, because you don't want to be stuck with a huge medical debt. You give people insurance, they get sick, whether it's an emergency or just something pretty serious, they're actually more likely to go to an emergency room.
And that's probably compounded by the fact that there aren't enough doctors. So if you can't get into your doctor, go to the ER.
Absolutely.
Okay. So do you think the ACA is going to change the way healthcare is delivered? And if so, in what ways?
Again, in the short term, probably not. You're probably mostly going to see just an expansion of what we have now to more people. The hope is that in the longer term, you're going to see more preventive care, you're going to see more coordinated care. A lot of people right now, especially low-income people, have very scattered, haphazard care. They go to one doctor, they get medication, they go to another doctor, they get something that maybe conflicts with that. There's a lot of churning. The hope is that more people will have a doctor or a clinic that's kind of keeping a watch on all of their issues, all of their medications, and all their problems, and making all of that work together.
So maybe a short term, you're going to see probably an increase in premiums, but over the long term, perhaps a reduction, at least in the escalation of healthcare costs.
Slowing of the growth. Yeah.
Bending the cost curve, as they say.
Ooh, careful.
I don't know how far I want to go on that. So other than repealing the Affordable Care Act, which I think the Republicans have attempted in Congress over 50 times, what are the other Republican plans to improve health care or provide health insurance for the uninsured?
I think they're mostly focused on choice. Their beef with Obamacare is that it's sort of centralized, dictated, if you will, by the federal government and then out through the states. And I think the best way to describe the Republican alternative is that they would empower individuals more to choose their own plans, even across state lines. If you lived in California, you could buy a plan from a company in Nevada or Arizona or Michigan. And maybe give people vouchers to subsidize them, and then have them just go out into the private market and buy whatever they will.
So do you think it's going to be a political winner or loser, the Affordable Care Act?
For the Democrats, or
a winner for the Republicans?
In the short term, again, it definitely is causing problems for the Democrats, partly because of the rollout, the loss of coverage for some people, and so the general perception that maybe the federal government is overreaching here. If it survives the next few years and beyond the end of President Obama's term, I think, you know, it could end up being either a net positive for the Democrats, or at least politically it will become accepted. It's just part of our social fabric.
Last question on this segment, and that is, what would you recommend to improve the ACA?
Probably just making it simpler. It's enormously complex, and I don't know of anyone who understands the entire thing. If there would be a way to just give maybe everybody a tax credit equivalent to what it would cost a low-income person to purchase insurance, and then those people would essentially be getting it for nothing, and then the more you made, you know, the less it would cover of your costs. Mm-hmm. But instead of having all these cross subsidies and mandates and requirements, maybe just a lot simpler so that everyone can kind of grasp what's going on.
Okay. We're talking with Dan Weintraub, the editor of the California Health Report. So the premise behind the Affordable Care Act is that health insurance coverage and health care, more health care, will improve health outcomes. Is that true?
Not necessarily. You would think so. Most people associate health care with better health. Mm-hmm. But a lot of studies have been done that show that those things aren't necessarily linked. There's so much more that goes into how healthy you are and how long you live than just going to a doctor, going to a hospital, having an insurance card. In fact, some studies suggest that 80 to 90% of your health outcomes and your longevity are controlled by things outside of the doctor's office.
Now, you wrote an article recently and you compared your body to a car in describing this. So how so?
Well, if you think about it, a doctor is kind of like, you know, with apologies to the medical profession, sort of like your car mechanic. They can patch you up and get you back in shape, but it's still up to you and your personal behavior and decisions and the life that you're living to stay healthy. So if you drive a car into the ground, if you use cheap gas, you let the oil run dry, you don't change the transmission fluid, that car is going to break down. You take it to a mechanic, they fix some parts, they send you back out there. If you do the same thing, the car is going to break down again, or it's maybe even going to die completely prematurely. Your body's the same way. You got to take care of it. You've got to live in a healthy environment. A lot of people don't have much choice about that, and that's one reason why you see health outcomes tracking incomes, because people who live in poor conditions tend to have poor health.
Now, you were talking about in your article about this link between health and wealth, that asking someone what their zip code is more important than asking them if they have health insurance.
Absolutely. Health outcomes are much more associated with where you live than whether you have insurance. It's a difficult to say right now exactly what factors are most important in that relationship. There's so many things going on that are interrelated: wealth, education, health behaviors, but they all kind of loop around each other in presenting a pretty clear front that people's geography, where they live, how they live, the environment around them is much more important in determining their health than whether they have coverage and whether they see a doctor.
And a huge impact is stress, obviously. So the healthcare law doesn't really deal with the stress issue.
Right. Just the stress of everyday living, of survival, of either being unemployed or marginally employed, of trying to put food on the table and take care of your kids. The latest science is finding some pretty amazing things about the way that kind of stress gets into your body biology and actually changes your hormones and your chemical makeup of your body, changes what you want to eat, even maybe leads to obesity, which is certainly one of the major problems in public health today. And so unless we start tackling those problems, which the sort of mainstream health industry doesn't really focus as much on, we're not going to make much progress.
So stress, I was reading, has more of an impact on your health than things like high blood pressure or cholesterol issues and things of that nature.
In some cases, it leads to those problems. So you can, again, give people drugs to try to control those problems. But if you don't get to the root cause of it, which very often is stress and the conditions in which people live, you're never going to solve the problem.
You should be focusing on meditation to reduce stress, I think. So you're saying income and education, lifestyle choices are much more important. So if we're trying to improve healthcare outcomes for Californians, what should we be focusing on?
We should focus a lot more on health than healthcare. We should focus on wellness, prevention, and ultimately on changing the conditions under which people live. You know, middle-class folks, wealthy folks, don't have nearly as many health problems as low-income people. And a big reason is just the conditions in which they live. It's difficult for them to get outside, to exercise. Kids can't ride their bikes to school or walk to school. Healthy foods are not accessible. They might live near a freeway or a port with terrible pollution problems causing asthma. And again, just the problems of existing on a marginal income create such a stress on people and families that that leads to physical health problems. So it's hard for public policymakers to accept this, that it's not just about giving people insurance. If we want to have a healthy society, we're going to have to create healthy conditions in which people are going to live.
Yeah, I was reading a University of Wisconsin study that looked at, you know, health, and they were looking at things like smoking and obesity rates, sexually transmitted diseases, air pollution, unemployment, high school graduate rates, a number of fast food outlets, seeing all of those impact health outcomes.
Yeah. Again, it's where people live, it's how people live, and it's not even about just preaching to folks about don't eat fast food, because now we're finding in the latest science that people's chemical makeup and their hormones may be telling them to eat more fast food or at least more processed foods. And so we're going to really have to get to the core causes of that and not just give people health care and not just preach to them about changing their behaviors, but really changing the conditions under which they're living.
Or eating the healthy diet at McDonald's as opposed to the triple exactly. Whatever. Well, I want to thank Dan Weintraub with the California Health Report for joining us, as well as Dan Punish from Covered California.
Up next, what impact will the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, have on the health of Valley residents and the health of Valley politicians? We'll talk to Bill McEwen, the editorial page editor of the Fresno Bee, and Sarah Reyes, former state assembly member and currently the regional program manager for the San Joaquin Valley with the California Endowment.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. How successful was the rollout of Obamacare in the Valley? Our next guest has a unique perspective on that issue. She is Sarah Reyes, former state assembly member and currently the regional program manager for the San Joaquin Valley with the California Endowment. Welcome to the Matty Report.
Thank you.
So, the California Endowment describes itself as, quote, a private statewide health foundation with a mission to expand access to affordable, quality health care for underserved individuals and communities and to promote fundamental improvements in the health status of all Californians. So how do you think Covered California did in reaching out to the uninsured and underserved here in the Valley?
Well, I think for the first time, as we know, this is a historic event where everybody is going to be able to have health care and be able to enroll. And so across the nation, we've seen some glitches, obviously, in the national system. But I think in Covered California, California led the way. I think we could have done better. We could always do better. But for the most part, I think what we saw is we held the majority of folks who were enrolled throughout the nation, and we were the leader, and a lot of lessons learned have been the ability for others to learn from what we did.
Yeah, it's really pretty amazing. Actually, when you look at the numbers, about 20% of the 8 million that have signed up are from California.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing. And there's lots of reasons for that. I think that California is out in front before a lot of other folks bought into it and were ready to go and spend some money. I also was doing some research, and I found that of the 1.4 million that signed up, that was twice as much as they were anticipating.
Right.
So they did pretty well in California. Well, what about some specific groups? What about Covered California's outreach to Hispanics and Blacks, statewide and here in the Valley?
Well, I think it was interesting to learn that Covered California probably was not as aware as they should have been, as many people are in California, that we are a very diverse state. I think they had a slow start when it came to the Latino community, especially among the Spanish speakers. I know in their call centers, they were lacking a lot of Spanish speakers and had to really ramp up to deal with the onslaught of folks that were calling. And then I also think, sadly, the understanding that a variety of audiences aren't going to listen to the same message, that you really do have to tailor your message to that audience. And we saw that within the African-American population. Unfortunately, a smaller segment of that population was enrolled. We want to continue to enroll them. We want to continue to outreach to them and make sure that we can get the information that everybody needs to make sure that they make the right decision and the best choice for them.
You know, it sounds like, you know, they actually did do better with African-Americans as they got in. into it more.
Right.
And even the numbers with Latinos, you know, it was started off at 18% of those enrolled, and it actually went to 32% of enrollments by the end of the enrollment period. So they got a slow start. Right.
You know, they started recognize that, oh, wait a minute, California is a diverse state. Maybe we ought to change some things. So they were flexible. I think that they got better, and they're only going to get better as they move forward.
Yeah, I don't know how many people, anything that starts off 100% perfect, you kind of tweak it and you make it better as you go along. Well, you know, there's also been a significant expansion of Medi-Cal, California's Medicaid program. What does it mean for the Cal program, the Medi-Cal program here in the Valley? Is it going to be harder to get doctors, longer wait times, or are there going to be better health outcomes by this expansion of Medi-Cal?
Yeah, I think people have to recognize that with the change of the Affordable Care Act, what also came with that was a restructuring of the Medi-Cal program and the newly eligible Medi-Cal. So if you were a single male previous, you weren't eligible for Medi-Cal. Now you are, depending on your income level. Single females who did not have children had not been eligible. But now, depending on your income level, you can be. So I think those are significant changes. I also believe that it provides an opportunity for folks who have been getting their care at emergency rooms, which are more costly, to be able to go to a doctor. You know, I don't know if it's going to be harder or if it's going to be easier for them to get preventative care. I know it's tough for me to get in to see my doctor, and I'm not on Medi-Cal. So I think that just in the Central Valley in general, we have a lack of doctors. And it's hard for everybody to get in to see their doctor when they need to get into them. But the fact that they're going to be able to be covered, that now they won't show up to the emergency room without any coverage, that now they will have coverage, and hopefully they won't be showing up at the emergency room, that they'll be going to clinics, that they'll be going to regular doctors previous, before they get to the extent that they need to get to an emergency room.
And before it's a crisis. I'm wondering what impact this is going to have on counties. You know, counties are typically responsible for indigent care. Is this going to end up saving counties money because people are now getting preventive treatment? Or is the administrative burden of just, you know, more government regulations and et cetera going to be not worth the cost, the effort?
Well, I think that it depends on who you're talking to, right? I think that counties are going to see less of an impact from their cost when it comes to certain programs because now people are going to be covered, whether they're covered by their private insurance or whether they're covered by Medi-Cal. So they will be getting preventative care, and they can get preventative care so that their flu or that their sprain doesn't turn into a break, their flu doesn't turn into pneumonia, and they don't go to the emergency room care. So I think that you will see savings statewide, not only just to the counties, but also statewide across the board because more people are going to have coverage.
And it kind of fits the statement, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Amen.
Well, what about the undocumented immigrants? They're ineligible for Medi-Cal and for covered California plans. A lot of them live in the Valley. What happens to them?
Well, that's the fight, right? That's the issue right now, is that not all of Californians are going to be covered. And whether you agree with the undocumented or being covered or not, they are part of our community. They are the backbone of the agricultural industry, and they do suffer some illnesses, and they suffer, unfortunately, because of the hard work they do, some really difficult illnesses. And so that coverage needs to be reexamined. We need to make sure that we can have opportunities for them to be covered. Here in Fresno County, I think you're seeing that issue being raised with the county supervisors trying to get out of that effort. And we're going to see that at the state level with the Health for All bill by Senator Ricardo Lara. I think that we're going to have a lot of discussion about that.
You know, wasn't there recently a Fresno County Superior Court judge who said that Fresno County, he ruled that Fresno County doesn't have to follow a 30-year-old court order requiring it to pay for medical services for undocumented?
Right. And you know, it's unfortunate. I think that the great thing about the Judge Black is that he did stay that decision for 60 days because he understood the impact that that would have on the most vulnerable in our community. I think that it's short-sighted if the county supervisors decide to do away with providing that care. Mostly because we have to understand that if we are championing farm workers when it comes to the drought and the impact the drought will have on them, why are we not championing their health and keeping them healthy and making sure that they're healthy? And so we're hoping that the county supervisors will reexamine, will understand that they have a stake in keeping everybody healthy in this county, and that they will join with advocates to make sure that California leads the way in this discussion and that we can have health for all.
You know, one of the responses that you'd probably get back from the county board of supervisors is, listen, we're getting less money for realignment because of the Affordable Care Act, I think $14 million less. And so if we continue to provide those services to the undocumented, we're going to have to cut services elsewhere. So they're saying things like coverage for TB, tuberculosis, or immunizations would have to be cut or something.
Well, I think that the county is, playing off bad information. Advocates locally have provided the county a letter from the Department of Health and Services here in California that says that the county may lose $14 million if they do not provide the services. So it's the reimbursement that the county would get for those services that they will lose. In addition to that, it's an understanding that the county, through realignment, will actually be covered for those costs that they expend or that their provider expends, because in this case, it's community hospitals, expends for the health services that they provide the undocumented. And in addition to that, I think it's also important to recognize that the county is looking at improving and expanding the health services for jail inmates. And that's where the majority of their realignment, health realignment dollars are going to go. And I think that the county needs to take a step back and recognize that you really don't want to be sending a message to folks that you have to commit a crime in the county of Fresno to get health services. And that's what the message is going to be.
Well, it sounds counterintuitive, but on the other side, it might be that they're concerned about getting sued for not providing a minimum level of care to inmates.
Right. And so you're darned if you do, darned if you don't, right? But that's why they ran to be county supervisors. They ran to represent all community, to represent all industries. And it's a little hard to believe that a county supervisor who touts that farm workers are the backbone of the agricultural industry when it comes to the drought trying to get more money, that they would not do the same thing for the health of our farm workers.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading a Los Angeles Times article, and they were saying, you know, this is obviously a concern for the undocumented, but they said, listen, there are ways that some of these folks could be covered. And they said, you know, for example, there are some university health plans that would cover some of these folks. There are some employer health plans that even undocumented might be able to access. They may be able to buy private insurance. So they're saying, you know, there's this patchwork of opportunities for undocumented that could perhaps address this problem. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that there's a lot of different ways that we can address the situation. There's obviously some undocumented citizens who can provide themselves with private insurance and can go on to Covered California, but the law prevents them from doing that today. So we need a change in the law that would allow them to do that. There are federally qualified health centers that can provide that service, but the federally qualified health centers like United and Clinica Sierra Vista and some of the others don't provide specialty care or emergency care. And so the county really needs to provide that backstop for those services. And so it's not a, you know, and or. It's a lot of all of it. And so I think that that's the conversation we need to have in this state to make sure that all Californians are protected. Because remember, they work with you and I, and they go to school with our kids. And if they get sick with tuberculosis doesn't care if you were born in California or California was born in you. Tuberculosis is going to be a spread.
I've heard that phrase somewhere before. Let's say where. Listen, there's also a basic assumption behind the Affordable Care Act, and that is that having more people with health insurance is going to result in better health care. But is that true? If Valley residents have access to medical care, but they don't, they engage in bad habits or they live in areas that are polluted by water and air, does it really change their overall health that they have health insurance? Isn't there a link between wealth and health?
Well, I think that there obviously is a link between wealth and health, you know, and we know that place matters, unfortunately. But your zip code shouldn't determine your genetic code. And that, too many times, not just in Fresno and the Central Valley, but throughout the state of California and other places, that, unfortunately, is becoming more the norm than a rarity. But I also think that it's not one thing is going to a silver bullet in all of this discussion about a person's health. Obviously, somebody with health care is going to be a lot healthier and have better health outcomes than somebody without. Because they're going to have an opportunity to see a doctor, to get help, to be able to deal with some of those addictions and bad habits that you talked about if they want to, and hopefully they do. And then those environmental causes that we know that spark asthma, that spark some of the other, you know, preventable diseases, I think with healthcare, you're more likely to control that. But again, we also need to look at our planning in the Central Valley and how that affects a person's health. And we also need to talk to people about living a healthier life, that it's not just good for kids to sit and play PlayStation 3 in the latest game, right? I mean, we have some young kids who have strong thumbs these days because that's how they use that little remote. We need them to get up and run around and climb a tree and enjoy the outdoors. We need people to also understand that their health is part of their responsibility and not just anybody else's responsibility.
And so it's a holistic approach.
Right.
I'm going to give you the luxury of a full 30 seconds to say what you think needs to be done to improve the health of Valley residents, particularly the underserved.
I think that, number one, we need to remind everybody that they should enroll and that they should ask those questions if they're going to be enrolled in Covered California or in Medi-Cal, that there are many people who are helping them. And then in addition to that, we need our decision makers to make smarter decisions and care about everybody's health in the Central Valley.
Well, I want to thank Sarah Reyes with the California Endowment for joining us. Up next, a conversation about what's the likely impact of the Affordable Care Act on Valley politics. That conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. What impact will Obamacare have on Valley politics? Our guest is Bill McEwen, the editorial page editor of the Fresno Bee. Welcome back to the Matty Report, Bill.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, they say that pocketbooks impact politics. So how will Obamacare impact the cost of health care? Do you think it's likely to go up or down in terms of premiums? And what impact will that have on Valley residents in terms of their political feelings about this new law?
Well, you know, when you talk about the average person, Mark, I don't know that you can talk about an average Valley resident because think about what Obamacare does. It brings a lot of people into medical coverage for the first time. And so that was one of the big goals of the Affordable Care Act. The other goal was to slow down the rapid escalation of medical care costs. So we know that... you know, if you look at the big numbers, it looks like it will slow the rise of medical costs. You know, it's not going to drive them down. And it also has brought, more than 1 million Californians into medical coverage for the first time, 7.5 million Americans. So certainly California was very important to President Obama. It's very important to making the system work. And when you look at the numbers in California, you know, it's clear that Obamacare is designed for an area like ours where so many people couldn't afford medical care. Now, you've read the letters to the editor. You know, we have them. Hey, I had a good plan, and now that plan, I can't have it anymore because of Obamacare, and I got to buy this other plan. It's going to cost me more, and it's not as good. Mark, certainly there are cases where this is true. And so there are families out there that have been impacted in a negative way by Obamacare. On the other hand, there's, you know, all kinds of families that are getting health care for the first time, or they're able to keep a child on their policy until they're 26, or people that couldn't afford medical care because of a pre-existing coverage. They like the Affordable Care Act. They're big fans of President Obama. On the other side, you know, you got businesses that say this is making my life miserable. It's impacting my bottom line. I don't like Obamacare. You got Republicans that watch a lot of Fox News and just, you know, take the talking points and say, I don't like Obamacare. So I don't think there is an average Valley resident. I think people are being impacted in, you know, very unique ways.
Yeah, specifically how it impacts. I mean, what I've seen is the rate of increase is projected to for health care. It's expected to go up about 6.2% with Obamacare. The question is whether that is faster or slower than it would have gone up without Obamacare, because health care costs of course, have been increasing for years. You know, I'm wondering about the impact on local races. You think it's going to be motivating Republicans or Democrats to go to the polls?
Well, first of all, let's talk about it. We say local races. So, you know, the California legislature didn't vote on Obamacare. It was left up to governors whether or not it would be implemented in their state or not. Governor Brown came, you know, onto this pretty full throttle and bought into the plan. In fact, he says it's going to help California's finances. So, you know, at the state level, no influence. What, county supervisors race? No. City council, if people are talking about Obamacare pro or con, they're just grandstanding. They can't really do anything about it. So what we're really talking about is congressional races. And then when you take a look at it, you say, well, where do we have truly competitive races? Most seats in Congress are pretty safe, right? And so this isn't going to influence whether or not Devin Nunes is going to return to Washington, D.C. Of course he is.
Well, it's going to impact David Valadao, I would think.
Well, that's, yeah, there. Here we go. So now, you know, you have that race that's going on. And, you know, Valadao was not in Congress when Obamacare was passed, but certainly he's been part of the Republican Party that's tried to repeal it. You know, but quite honestly, Valadao's talked a lot more about the fact that, you know, he's trying to get fellow Republicans to push for immigration reform. He's talking a lot more about let's get water here, and the Republican Party is going to help farmers on water more than a Democrat is. That's his position. And, you know, high-speed rail, he opposes it. So, you know, I haven't heard a lot of talk about Obamacare in this campaign so far. You know, in that race, we know that John Hernandez, the Democrat, who's polling second right now, and he lost to Valadao 2 years ago. John Hernandez is an unabashed supporter of Obamacare. And he says it's good for the residents of that congressional district. And, you know, you look at voter registration, the Democrats do have an edge there, though Valadao, you know, won handily last time. So maybe Hernandez can make Obamacare work for him.
Well, the other Democrat in the race has indicated that Obamacare needs to be tweaked, needs to be modified
right.
In some ways.
Well,
so.
and you're talking about Amanda Renteria.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's very interesting because she's kind of waffling on high speed rail, and you know, she's saying this kind of. You know, of course something needs to be tweaked. I think she's trying to have it both ways a little bit.
Well, you know, I'm curious. You don't think it's going to have any impact on a race like Andy Vidak's race, which is, you know, traditionally that's always a close election because the district is pretty evenly divided. You don't think it's going to have any impact on whether there's a D or an R after your name?
Well, you know, what can Andy Vidak do or what can his opponent do about Obamacare? They're California state senators. I mean, you know, to me, it's just grandstanding. And, you know, when you look at that race, again, Andy Vidak, he's talking about let's end high-speed rail. He's talking about let's bring more water here. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of, modify these environmental laws. Mm-hmm. You know, when one party has tried to repeal something 50 times and one party shut down government over it, You know, people have kind of been there and done that.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
And I find it interesting, you know, Hernandez is making a big deal out of the fact that Valadao voted to shut down the government and saying, hey, this is coming off the rim fire. You know, the people in the Yosemite area, the small businesses, they were already economically devastated. And then David Valadao went out and shut down the government.
Well, for
a symbolic thing, and he gave these people a double whammy. He's out there hard on that.
Let me talk about the Affordable Care Act, though, in terms of, you know, the political reaction, short-term and long-term. I mean, the polling seems to be getting a little better, but most people think it's probably going to cause some problems for the Democrats in the short term. But it may be a political winner for the Democrats in the long term, like 2016. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we'll see, because, I mean, you know, the true test is going to be, you know, how many people sign up, how many young people sign up so that the costs can be contained. You know, what does this thing look like in a couple of years? Do they work out the problems with it or tweak it and improve it? So to me, it's still early. I mean, you know, President Obama was premature. You know, he's declaring victory because he's got 7.5 million signups. You know, the test is going to be how this thing works. And, we're barely into that yet. So, you know, when you think of American ingenuity and you think of how massive this thing is, so there are bound to be problems starting out. Typically, as Americans, you know, we get in there and we do make things better.
Well, let me ask you about that. I don't want to sound naive here, but it used to be that politicians worked together, Republicans and Democrats, to fix things. I mean, Valleycrats were a good example of working across the aisle, Republicans and Democrats. Do you think that's ever going to happen here? Are we going to have a bipartisan effort to fix this rather than appeal it?
I can identify one thing, and I think Republicans are going to have to be dragged kicking and screaming. And then if it gets to be 2016, and let's say they win the White House and they have a majority, I don't think they'll repeal Obamacare. I really don't. I think they'll say, we're giving it a makeover. But the one thing I could see happening, you know, where the Republicans and Democrats work together on, when you look at Obamacare, is there are people that just want a basic plan. And so, you know, what do they call them now? The gold, the silver, the bronze, or whatever. So, you know, there needs to be a copper plan or whatever you're going to call it. And I think there's a chance for some bipartisan legislation on that front, because you will have families that are represented by Republicans, and they're saying, hey, you know, my Obamacare went up. You know, I still want medical, but I don't want this kind of plan. I want the kind of, plan that protects against something like cancer or some huge accident. That's what I want. But the day-to-day medical care, I'll fund that myself.
Yeah. So catastrophic loss.
They're looking for this basic plan, and that basic plan isn't available under Obamacare. And here's the thing. I think the president and the Democrats could eliminate a lot of the controversy over this plan if that was offered.
Okay, well, I want to thank Bill McEwen from the Fresno Bee's editorial page.
disagreed with everything I said today, Mark.
I also want to thank former Assemblymember Sarah Reyes, now with the California Endowment, also David Panis with Covered California, and Dan Weintraub, the editor of the California Health Report. Thanks all of them for joining us. If you want to keep up to date with state and local politics, you can sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Maddie Daily, by just logging on to our website at maddieinstitute.org.
The Maddie Report Valley Views Edition is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio and the nonpartisan Maddie Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on important public policy issues.
This is Mark Kepler for The Maddie Report Valley Views Edition. Thanks for joining us.